This is Lamentations 1, 1 through 8. How deserted lies a city once so full of people. How like a widow is she who once was great among the nations. She who was queen among the provinces has now become a slave. Bitterly she weeps at night, tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers there is no one to comfort her. All her friends have betrayed her, they have become her enemies. After affliction and harsh labor, Judah has gone into exile. She dwells among the nations, she finds no resting place. All who pursue her have overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn, for no one comes to her appointed festivals. All her gateways are desolate, her priests groan, her young women grieve, and she is in bitter anguish. Her foes have become her masters, her enemies are at ease. The Lord has brought her grief because of her many sins. Her children have gone into exile, captive before the foe. All the splendor has departed from daughter Zion. Her princes are like deer that find no pasture. In weakness they have fled before the pursuer. In the days of her affliction and wandering, Jerusalem remembers all the treasures that were hers in days of old. When her people fell into enemy hands, there was no one to help her. Her enemies looked at her and laughed at her destruction. Jerusalem has sinned greatly, and so has become unclean. All who honored her despise her, for they have all seen her naked. She herself groans and turns away. The word of God for the people of God.
Right. How's everyone doing? So see, this is my pre-preaching smile as I get to come to you with probably the most depressing message I've ever preached. So I'll smile now, make up for later. But that's good. We live in a world that's often depressing, and often we just ignore it, and we'll get into that. But I really think it's great that we're getting into this Lamentations. We've never preached Lamentations here before. We probably did that one verse out of the middle that's all positive. Yeah, the one positive verse in Lamentations. But there's something good about that. So I just want to get into that. I've titled Message, Open Our Eyes, and I'll explain a little bit about that here and thing. But I want to establish two things first before we get started, get looking into Lamentations. The first thing is that, well, this topic that I was given was a broken world and a holy God. Most of us would give a nod and move on. Okay, yeah, we live in a broken world and we have a holy God and we just move on. But I believe that there's more for us to see. That we need our eyes opened to really realize that. So that's why I titled the message, Open Our Eyes. Because I think that's what we really need, is our eyes opened. And I think proper lament is going to do that. Second thing, you know, Kelly in there is lament is biblical. I just want to put it out. Kelly covered that a lot last week. But we cannot run from it. We can't avoid it. We can't discourage it if we're going to be faithful to the Word of God. We can't. So, first of all, open our eyes. What I really believe that God wanted to do here today in us, in those watching online, is open our eyes. And the thing that came to my mind, 2 Kings 2:6. You have battle going on. You have enemies. And all of a sudden, you have a guy that wakes up. In the morning, he goes out and looks, and he sees that they're surrounded. Multitudes of their enemy. And Elijah comes out, and he's just like, hey, what are you all worried about? What's up? There's nothing to worry about. And a scripture often quoted in times of trouble is Elisha answered, do not be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And I think guys going like, I think you and I are standing out here on this wall, and I'm seeing thousands of them and the two of us. Like, what's going on here? And then Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So there was a spiritual army there to help them battle. And I believe Well, maybe a different thing, but I'm just praying the same way. My prayer is that everyone's eyes would be open. I believe God wants to open our eyes to see what he sees in the world. If we do that, I believe lament becomes the natural outcome. If we truly see what's going on, if our eyes are open, really the only choice is to lament. And I think we'll also see the depth of which sin has overtaken the world. And I'm not comparing myself to Elisha, but I want to do what Elisha did. I want to pray. Because I think, that's just the best thing I can do. Lord, I just pray right now for those online, for everyone in this room, anyone who listens to this later, that you would open our eyes to just see what you see and see how much sin has overtaken the world. Also then, in context, to see what a holy and powerful and great and loving God you are. Amen. Amen. So, as we go forward, there's paper in every seat somewhere in your aisle. You should have paper. I want you to write down things that you might lament. So just keep note as we're going through here. I'll give more instruction later about how I want to deal with this. But at least for now, if there's something you go, man, I really should lament over this. I should really engage this pain and sorrow that's going on in my life and the world. Write it down so you don't forget. And then, I'll talk more about what I want to do with that later. So in our culture, being happy and content has become more important than actually dealing with problems. It has. I'll just tell you, it has. I'm absolutely not against antidepressants and other things when they're needed. But when you see statistics that more than 2/3 of all households have prescriptions for antidepressants and sedatives and things like that. And properly used, they're good, but I think it just shows that we as a society are just looking, we just want to be happy. That's all we're looking to do. And I understand, I want to be happy. I think we all want to be happy. But I think true happiness can only come in the right context. So this also includes ministers. Just listen to most messages, even maybe from us. I don't know, it'd be interesting to go back and listen on Facebook, see how many of them are, but we're going to tell you about how great your life can be with Jesus. Your problems are no more. Nothing else is, things are going to go good for you from now on. And I don't know, does Scripture say that? It does, sort of. So I'm going to be one who's going to boldly proclaim the word of God. The word of God that says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. But also that's going to say proclaim that it rains upon the just and the unjust. And I could go on and on with the contrasts. Is there's no absolute guarantee in the Bible that your life or our country or our thing is going to go perfect, and that everything is going to just be peachy. No guarantee of that. And I want to preach all of the Bible. So Acts 20. Just one more thing here, and before we move, dive into Lamentations. Acts 20. I just want to look. This is Paul saying, "And now I am compelled by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead." Jail and suffering lie ahead. This is Paul. This is New Testament. Okay? "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. And now I know that none of you to whom I preach the gospel will ever see me again. I declare today that I have been faithful. If anyone suffers eternal death, it's not my fault. For I did not hold back from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. So we see here, even the New Testament's filled with hardship. I could give you more texts, more verses, but even the New Testament's filled with hardship. And more to my point is I'm with Paul, and I want to say, and I think we as a church leaders here want to say, that we are not going to back down from declaring the whole counsel of God. So we're not just going to come and tell you the things that make you feel good, but we're going to tell you the things that are going to bring you life. They're going to bring you true peace, true hope, that true happiness. Not just something that makes you feel good on Sunday, but now you're back in your place on Monday of feeling bad. So, and some translations put that rather than the whole counsel of God as the whole or complete purpose of God for you. So with that, so two things there just to establish. One, just the fact that we want to preach the whole counsel here. We don't want to back away from something that might not just make you feel good. So with that, jumping into this text, we have, as we look in Lamentations 1 and 2, chapter 1 and 2, they both start off with a word, the word how. It says, how deserted in chapter 1 lies the city, once so full of people. How like a widow is she, who once was great among the nations. She who was queen among the provinces has now become a slave. Then chapter 2, we have, starts off the same way. How the Lord has covered the daughter Zion with the cloud of his anger. He has hurled down the splendor of Israel from the heaven to earth. He has not remembered his footstool in the day of anger. So, hopefully I don't lose you here. And I have to look harder because I know Greek better than Hebrew. But I looked into this. And this word how, it's an interrogative verb. Now that sounds bad, but basically it's a question. If you want to ask someone, you want to find out an answer. So how? This is asking a question to find out an answer. Almost whoever you're asking, you know, that sounds stronger than maybe the meaning, but interrogate. I want to, you know, how did you get those shoes, Kelly? Did you steal them or did you? No. You know, I want to know an answer, even if it's simple. So it's an interrogative adverb, but on top of that, it's the form that's used here, it's an exclamation. In fact, there's another form of this that can be an exclamation, but this is an even stronger exclamation. So I just want to get through here and give some examples. Is this how? It's not like a, how can you let this happen to me? It's more like a, how can you let this happen to me? How can you let this happen to the world around me? How can you be the God you say you are? In fact, some scholars, even though in both chapters here, 1 and 2, it starts off with how, some scholars believe that every line, every one of these things could be prefaced with that how, that through the whole chapter, the whole chapter. So I want to reread what Larissa read to you. With adding in the how in a few places, but really what I think is the heart behind it. And just listen to the devastation. The thing is, how can it be that deserted lies the city once so full of people? How like a widow she is, who once was great among the nations. How can it be that she who was queen among the provinces has now become a slave? How can it be that bitterly she weeps at night? Tears are on her cheeks. How can it be that among all her lovers there's no one to comfort her? All her friends have betrayed her. They have become her enemies. How can it be that after affliction and harsh labor, Judah has gone into exile? How can it be that she dwells among the nations, but she finds no resting place? How can it be that all who pursue her have overtaken her in the midst of her distress? How can it be the roads to Zion mourn, for no one comes to her appointed festivals? All her gateways are desolate, her priests groan, her young women grieve, and she is in bitter anguish. How can it be that her foes have become her masters? Her enemies are at ease. How can it be that the Lord has brought her grief because of her many sins? Her children have gone into exile, captive before the foe. How can it be that all splendor has departed from the daughter of Zion? How can it be that her princes are like deer that find no pasture? In weakness they have fled before the pursuer. Does that give a little better idea? I think often we read, I actually asked Larissa to not read it dramatically. I mean, I didn't want her to make it boring, because I think that's often how we read through. We'd read through Lamentations. Yeah, we often read through Lamentations. I think we just read through it, and oh, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. It's easy. But this is a cry. An exclamation, in a sense, a certain amount of interrogation of God and just questioning everything. How can this all happen? The amount of lament is great here. In fact, something else I didn't bring up is that these two chapters are an acrostic poem that go through the whole alphabet. Each verse starts with a different letter of the alphabet. There's so much lament here that it's sort of like the writer is saying, everything has happened. Let me list it from A to Z. Everything has been utterly taken away. There is nothing left. These people, and I'm not going to get into it because I really want to focus on our part of seeing today, but they were devastated in every way. Financially devastated. Their land was taken away. Their families were separated and torn apart. Their traditions were gone. The things that they even held holy in traditions they could not do. And their pride even, everything that they could take pride in, is gone. And I could list it, but we are talking about everything. Stripped of everything when you look back historically. So, as you think about what you should lament, I want you to think about that question. How? Or how can it be? When you look at the world, when you look maybe at your life, when you look at the country, or doesn't matter what system you want to look at, there's how. How can it be this way? How can it be? How can it be? So what lament do you have? What lament do you have? What is it that you question in life? How? God, how can this be? What don't you understand? What do you look at things and go, I just don't get it. What are you angry about? You know, I have a few things that I personally lament over quite a bit, and I challenge God. I sort of interrogate God on, and I just tell you one of those things. I say, God, how can it be that so many people suffer with mental illness, and there seems to be no good solutions? How? And God, we pray and we see nothing change. And God, we We do everything. We try and get people in programs and with doctors and try and even people get on medicines. And it just seems to mask the problem. God, why isn't there deliverance for that? That's deep. It pains my heart. And I see families that are broken. And the problem I struggle with even getting into a lot of this stuff is that there's so many stories. If I get going too personally, you're going to go, oh, he's preaching about my family up here, or he's preaching about my life. So I just struggle. So I just want to say that anything I do share is general stuff. But you look at people that families that are just wrought with just all types of addiction, just generation after generation. People die. People, and then you have abuse, whether physical, mental, sexual abuse that just goes on and on. We should be saying, why? How? How could this be? How could it be, God? I've done everything I can to help this person. How can it be that it still doesn't work out? I can't tell how many people I've helped through a drug, tried to help through drug addiction. There's a few stories that come out strong, but most of the time it's God. I and everyone, people have invested so much, and it's still there, God. We prayed. They prayed. And still, addiction takes over. There is a lot to lament here in this world. We don't even have to walk out the door to do it. But I can tell you, we could just walk down within a block. If we were to truly have our eyes open, we could look, and I could just start pointing out, we could lament this. I can just think of George Middle School, even just as I'm visually walking out here. George Middle School. There's so many lives. And I think it's the highest percentage of low-income families or something like that out of all the schools in the Portland School District. And not that low-income means bad, but usually it means because lives aren't going that well. Single-parent households or parents who have addiction problems. And I could go on and on. And while I'm not getting into it, but I have I have four people's properties that border my mine right over there, and three out of the four growing big old pot plants, lots of them. Like, I don't know that you could even smoke that much in a year if you wanted to. So it's not just like a little. We're talking about that speaks to addiction. And by the way, the fourth one is Pastor Jose. So hopefully I didn't say four out of four. Again, that's a lament. That three out of four, and it might be four out of four if it wasn't Pastor Jose, are growing so much pot that they're basically staying stoned all year long. It's the only way they can probably make it through life. That's a lament. That's a lament. So what lament do you have? I have several. I could go on and on. But I want you to be asking God, what is it that I need my eyes open to? What don't you understand about life? What are you angry about? Now again, I want you to be putting this on paper. It doesn't have to be whatever comes to mind, but I think that, Lord, how can it be? Is, I think, just a great question to say. What is it? But what I want to do, and so if you're writing it down, when we do communion, I'm going to just have people bring it up here, and we're actually going to read these out loud. So no one will know what's yours or not. But again, you don't want to get too personal, if you don't want everyone to be, no. But just going to read, and I may not be able to read all of them aloud. We're going to use some of these for prayer time on Saturday, so they'll get honored, even if they don't get mentioned here. But we're going to read them aloud. So everyone just get ready. Write down something that you just need to lament about, that you just look at out in life and you just have to even want to just question God about. How can this be? How can this be? Whether it's your own life, someone else's life. And we're just going to, as we're taking communion, we're just going to read through. I'm going to read through some of those. Again, may not be all of them. But what does this lament do for us? So that's often, I think, often the big question almost all the time is whatever we talk about up here is what does that actually do for us? So it enables us to see the holiness of God. That's one thing. Enables us to see the holiness of God. If we don't open our eyes to the utter devastation of sin in our world, we cannot see how beautiful and holy God is. So travel up the Columbia River Gorge. I think it's starting about mile marker 140, between 140 and 150. There, I think I missed them for years. There's bighorn sheep up there. And they're all over the hillside. I mean, we're talking sometimes a few hundred. And I drove by them for years. Never saw them because they look like little rocks up there on the hill. Little rocks that are sort of whitish, grayish, until there's one moving. And now the thing is, once you can know how to see them, you can see them. And I tell you, because you know, driving truck and I do training and all that, and anyone running out there, I mention it to, and almost every driver, even a driver who goes to Hermiston every day, hadn't seen them for years. He'd been doing that and hadn't seen them until I mentioned it to him. And so, however, I bet you if we had a big, pristine, white, pure white stallion horse up there, I bet you'd be able to spot that right away. And I think that's one of the things that happens if we can't lament, if we can't look at the world and see the problems in it, we can't really see how great God is. Because those problems, God is holy and perfect. And these problems are here because the world is not. And so the thing is, that's a big take home. If you really want to learn about who God is, we need to see God's heart towards all of these things. We need a greater contrast often to see the holiness of God than what we often do. If we want to understand the world, we need to lament. You want to understand why things in Washington don't go the way they do, why they would want them to? We need to lament, because it's sin that causes those problems. If we want to truly know God and His will for us, we need to lament. If we can't see what's going on around us, if our eyes are blind to all the things that are going on around us, God has called us all to be ministers, all of us. Every one of you, if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are called to reconcile people with God. That's what the Bible says. Each and every one of you. But if you can't see the devastation that sin has in people's lives, then you can't come back and you can't go and actually fulfill God's will for your life. I once had another pastor who wasn't until really looking at this lament thing, it clicked like, okay, I get it. He used language that I just had a hard time with. He said, until you cry for the lost, you'll never be able to bring souls into the kingdom. I said, I'm just not a crier. So it just always, yeah, I'm just not a crier. You know, I think Kelly's seen me cry once. My wife's seen me cry 3 or 4 times. Yeah, something like that. So I'm not a crier. So it just always like, but the thing is I would agree that if you don't lament over the sin in the world, then you're not going to be effective at ministering the gospel, okay? If we want to understand our families, we want to understand why marriages break up, why kids don't talk to each other, we need to lament and see how sin devastates that. So I mentioned already, I believe the same things that we would lament over are probably the same things that trouble God also. We're just seeing the heart of God. So lament helps us. Let's see if anyone catches the tie in here. Lament helps us understand how to love God and love others. Lament also helps us understand how to grow in our relationship with God and others. And lament also helps us understand how to go into the world and minister to the world. So how many people caught what I just did? A few of us? Well, love, grow, go. So, all right. But it's true. It's not just to be cheesy. It's because that's the core thing of what we believe. As we enter into communion here, fill out your paper, put it in there, grab your communion, and you go back and I just want you to take some time and actually lament. Just sit there and go, God, what's going on here? What are you saying to me? What do you need to open my eyes to? Because lament should also help open our eyes to the need for this sacrifice here that Jesus made because of our sin. You take the bread and the blood on your own as you do that. I just want you to think about that, how much you needed forgiveness, how much you needed that stuff. And just lament, just take some time to lament about these things, just to ponder them. And if you want to take time up here at the altar, you can do that. If you just need to lament here at the altar or kneel at your chair, do that. But again, you come on up and get communion. I'm going to start reading some of these laments here. I'll read more as they come on up. Again, I don't know what they say, but here we have, you say I am free, even though the darkness still, I think, hunts me. If disturbing my sleep, my mind finds little rest. How long will I wait for your return when all will be as it should be? I mentioned I'm not a crier. We'll see if I make it through some of these without. Maybe Kelly will see me cry for the second time. Fighting over moral and political issues. Man, so much of that goes on. We need to lament over that. We really do, especially in our country right now. Pain from neglect. How much neglect goes on in the world? Something to lament. Drug addiction, by the way, my message price. Drug addiction, mental health. That one was mine. I put in there earlier. The brokenness of families. As I was reading this, doing this message, that was the biggest thing that came to my mind over and over again. It's just the brokenness of families. And it goes deep. It goes deep. Deep, just problem after problem and generation after generation. Stress of moving. The schools, families, and staff, our neighborhood, political leaders. Addiction, mental illness, anger, homelessness, relationships with son. A friend's unacceptable relationship, financial irresponsibility. How has the world become a world of people who are so self-important? And how can it be that there is so much sin in the world? It seems to be the main thing going on. Family dynamics, dysfunctional, pornography addiction, worldwide problems, wars and threats of wars, so many homeless people. lost time used with God, time lost for personal time with family, sin that has separated me from God, and some opportunities. Human trafficking, children raised in broken homes, a culture that is obsessed with sexual perversions. And then pride, jealousy. And I know there's more up here, but you see, we have a lot to lament. We have a lot to go before God. So I'm just going to close this in prayer. Lord, I just come and I just pray that you continue to open our eyes as we drive down the street, as we go to work, as we interact with our family and coworkers and friends and people at the grocery store. Lord, that you would help us just to lament and learn the lessons that we need to learn from lament, which I know we'll talk about more in a few next coming weeks. But Lord, right now, just help us to lament, to just feel that tension and not run away from it, and pour our heart out to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.